online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, TDs are given a warning by the Cairn Corla of the Dáil to watch what they say about Supreme Court Justice Seamus Wolfe. Sinn Féin says it wouldn't have tabled a motion of no confidence in Leo Varadkar if he'd been disciplined by the Taoiseach. The North's First Minister is hopeful consensus can be reached this evening on whether COVID-19 restrictions there can be relaxed. The current restrictions expire on Thursday evening. Meanwhile, a leading doctor in Northern Ireland warns against lifting the restrictions prematurely, and the Department of Education says it's determined Leaving Cert exams will go ahead next year. And at around 5:15, Kelly Harkin is here with all the sports news. But we begin with that warning issued by the Cairn Corla in the Dáil this afternoon. TDs warned to watch what they say about Supreme Court Justice Seamus Wolfe. Sean O'Farrell warned them they could be called on to adjudicate on the issue in the future, given the current impasse in the courts. Chief Justice Frank Clark has indicated he believes Mr. Justice Wolfe should resign over his handling of his attendance at the Golfgate affair. Seamus Wolfe says he won't do that. South Donegal TD and Sinn Féin Justice spokesperson Martin Kenny says that potentially lands the issue back with politicians.
It's fraught with difficulty, and we recognise that. But at the same time, we cannot step back from it. We have to recognise that the judiciary has made it very clear that they have a huge problem with the way in which Justice Wolfe has dealt with the process more than anything else, and the way he has behaved in regard to his communications both with the Supreme Court Justice and with with Justice Denham previously.
Sinn Féin says it wouldn't have tabled a motion of no confidence in Taoiseach Leo Varadkar if he'd been disciplined by the Taoiseach. A vote will take place in the Dáil tonight after the Taoiseach leaked a confidential GP contract negotiated with the IMO to a rival group. A counter-motion on confidence in the government as a whole will be tabled, with Mr. Varadkar expected to survive. The Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, says the current Taoiseach should have taken decisive action before now.
The objective of the exercise is to establish that the Taoiseach, the person serving in the highest office in the land, does not leak confidential documents. The purpose of the exercise is to bring some real accountability into the equation. By the way, if the serving Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, had acted to sanction Leo Varadkar, we wouldn't have had to place this motion.
The High Court has been told a 54-year-old woman from Donegal died after a failure to properly diagnose and treat a blood clot, having twice visited Letterkenny University Hospital in 2018. RTE is reporting this afternoon that at the time of her death, Bridie Kelly from Drumbay, Mount Charles, was undergoing an unnecessary CT scan of her brain, which was meant for another patient of a similar name. The High Court approved a settlement of the case against the HSE for €325,000. Ms. Kelly's family is urging the HSE to implement the recommendations of a serious incident review into her care, which was ordered last year by the Celta Hospital Group. The North's First Minister says she hopes consensus can be reached this evening on whether COVID-19 restrictions can be relaxed north of the border. The current measures, which have been in place for 4 weeks, are due to expire on Thursday night. The Stormont executive met yesterday but failed to agree whether pubs, restaurants and other hospitality businesses should reopen. First Minister Arlene Foster told the Assembly that she's hopeful further discussions will lead to a breakthrough.
We will have an executive later today, and I very much hope that consensus can be achieved. We are in a five-party coalition, Mr. Speaker. There are many administrations who do not have to deal with differing political philosophies and ways forward. But we will work together. We have a determination to work together to find a solution, and that will happen hopefully today.
A further 11 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, with 514 new cases confirmed today. There are 420 people in hospital with coronavirus, 50 of them in intensive care units. They're higher figures than are prevalent in the Republic at the moment. A leading doctor, meanwhile, in the North has issued a stark warning against lifting COVID-19 restrictions there prematurely. Talks have resumed, as we've heard, on whether the restrictions should be extended for a further 2 weeks. So far, there's no agreement to report. A four-week circuit breaker lockdown will end on Thursday, with much of the hospitality industry still shut. On today's 9 till noon show, the BMA's Northern Ireland chair, Derry Doctor Dr. Tom Black, said while numbers are going down, they're too high to consider relaxing the measures.
We're not doing enough to get it down significantly. And the real key numbers here are not the rates of infection, which are still still significant. So last week, 5,000 this week, 4,000 total cases. But we're still running 1,000 cases more than 60 years old, and we're still running the highest level of patients in hospital, the highest level of intensive care use, and the highest level of outbreaks in nursing homes. So while you could say, yes, we've stopped it increasing, and in fact we've got some decreases in the very high areas, you couldn't call that a success. So they want to ease the restrictions in Northern Ireland. They're talking about opening hospitality, restaurants, cafes, bars, etc. And that doesn't seem sensible when we just opened up the schools. And we know that the R number's going to increase now because of the schools. But, you know, the point that the doctors are making is it's reasonable to suffer an increase in the R number because of schools, because the outcome of that is education and mental health and well-being of our children. I'm not sure it's worth increasing the R number to get a pint down the pub, to get a meal in a restaurant when you can get a takeaway, or you can go to an off license. So I'm really not sure. And the argument people make is there's a lot of people employed in those areas. Yeah, we know that. We're doctors. We're dealing with the psychiatric outturn of that. But that's what government intervention and furlough and financial support is for, not to make the pandemic worse.
The Department of Education says it's determined that the Leaving Cert exam will go ahead next year, but admits backup plans will also be examined. It comes as Wales confirmed final year exams won't take place in 2021 due to the ongoing disruption caused by the pandemic. Some state exams have also been cancelled in Scotland, while exams have been pushed back in England and Northern Ireland. Well, Assistant Secretary at the Department of Education, Dalton Tatton, says planning for next year's Leaving Cert is already underway.
Our determination is to run the exams next year. I know we can't be absolutely sure, and I suppose this year has taught us anything, is the uncertainty that there is out in the world. That said, given the experience we've just gone through, we'd be mad if we didn't contingency plan and think about alternatives. We do intend to carry out a review in relation to the calculated grades process this year. We've obviously learned a huge amount, but we had to learn it very much on the hoof.
The government has approved €48 million in additional funding to support the aviation sector. €22 million in operational and capital funding for Cork and Shannon airports has been approved on top of budget 2021 commitments. There will be a further €6 million for Knock, Kerry and Donegal under the regional airports programme. A €20 million airport charges rebate scheme has also been announced, subject to state aid approval from the EU. That will run between January and March next year. Minister for International Travel, Hildegard Nocton, says it'll help both airports and airlines.
So the airport rebate scheme works as planes land, there's a landing charge. So airlines will receive a rebate. The airports will not charge the airlines the airport landing charge. So that will be an attractive proposition to any airlines. And again, it's enabling the airports to be able to attract their own business and deal directly with the airlines to attract further scheduled flights.
Donegal County Council says the Buy Donegal Weekend initiative was a major success. It was developed by the council in a bid to get people to buy Donegal products and services and publicise that on social media. The supporting website, buydonegal.com, had a constant flow of traffic over the weekend. Visitors from over 40 countries engaged with more than 200 Donegal businesses. Director of Services Gary Martin says it's been decided to extend the campaign into the coming weeks.
In excess of 200 businesses on the Buy Donegal platform saw a substantial increase in both interest and, more importantly, in the sales that they actually generated over the weekend. We're still collating the data from the firms to see exactly how well they did do as a result of the activity, but the initial feedback is that certainly some of them saw an increase between 20 and 40% in the level of the sales. And I was talking to one company in particular, and they would have indicated that they actually had several thousand euros worth of sales within the space of 24 hours. So it does indicate that it has been quite successful.
Coming to the end of November, it's traditionally the time that the major multinationals put a big push on online sales, and maybe the biggest message to come out of Buy Donegal Week weekend is that if you want to do your shopping online, you don't have to go to the big multinationals. You can still stay local and shop online if that's what you choose. And this year, more than ever, that's what's going to happen in a lot of cases.
Absolutely, and that's why we've extended the initiative beyond the weekend, and the buydonegal.com website will be active and alive right up until Christmas to allow people either at home or abroad to buy from the range of Donegal firms that are on it and to support the local businesses during this most trying of times.
Well, that was Gary Martin of Donegal County Council. Two youths are wanted in connection with a burglary, theft and damage at two business premises in Letterkenny. The incident happened in the early hours of last Tuesday morning. At around 2:30, the front door of one shop was forced open and a sum of cash was taken from a register. Items of stock were thrown across the floor and damaged. Gardaí have confirmed that CCTV has been viewed and two male youths are captured entering the store by force. While Gardaí were preserving the scene of the burglary in that shop, they noticed damage had been caused to an off-licence premises next door. Well, Gardaí Sean Sweeney had this appeal on today's 19 Noon Show.
So unfortunately, we have no better description as of yet. So if anyone's in the area in the Pierce Road observed two young males hanging about and can offer a description of them, please contact Letterkenny Gardaí on 91671100. So while Gardaí were preserving the scene of the burglary of the shop, they noticed that damage had been caused to an off-licence next door. So the keypad had been ripped off the wall and damage had also been caused to the CCTV system. So the incident was captured just before 2:30 a.m. It's also the same two youths who then proceeded to break into the shop next door. So again, if anybody has any information in relation to this or the previous incident, we ask to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 67100.
Donegal County Council says the current public lighting at the Bernard McGlinchey Town Park is up to standard. It follows concerns that while there are plenty of lights in the park, they're too dim, particularly during the winter months. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says if people who use the park believe the lighting should be improved, then the council should take that on board.
I accept what they're saying, that it probably meets whatever standard, but it doesn't meet the standard that the people walking there want. And, you know, the town park is such a good facility. It's so good to see so many people using it now. And for people to be able to use it in the wintertime is very important too. And now that we have people walking in it and using it, we should be encouraging that. We're trying to get people to walk. We're trying to get people to use our council facilities. And this is a great opportunity to keep that going. And I think we should be listening to what people's saying. I walk over there myself and I know that every evening that I do, that someone mentions the lighting to me. So that's why I've raised it here, and it's for no other reason. So people think it's too dim, and if they think it's too dim, then it is too dim, and we need to look at replacing it.
From a cost perspective, I'm sure it wouldn't cost a lot of money to replace a few light bulbs.
I asked that question there. I'm not sure what the answer is, but I can't imagine that if it's just a matter of putting in better higher grade bulbs or LED lighting or whatever, I can't think that's going to cost an absolute fortune. And the benefit to the public and the benefit to the council itself and to council facilities far outweighs that. So I would hope that they would look at that again.
And that was Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. Donegal County Council and the OPW have launched the project website for flood relief schemes in Burnfoot, Castlefin, Downings and Glenties. The opening consultation period for the schemes has also begun. That will remain open until December 21st. With more, here's Greg Hughes.
Donegal County Council says the overall project objective is to develop a flood relief scheme for each community that is economically viable and technically, socially and environmentally acceptable. The purpose of the opening consultation period, which is now underway, is to explain the scheme development process and gather valuable local knowledge, which will be essentially meeting the project objectives. The council says it is an opportunity for stakeholders and members of the public to voice any concerns they may have and to inform how the design is being progressed. Due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and restrictions, these public consultations are being held via an online consultation portal, which can be accessed via the project website, countydonegalfrs.ie. The first newsletter, information brochure and a questionnaire will be sent to stakeholders and residents in each of the four communities so that submissions to the project team can be made via post, email or telephone. Queries can be sent to floodreliefschemes@donegalcoco.ie.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Click and collect or shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. We say good evening to Kenny Horgan.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We start with rugby, and Andy Farrell says James Lowe will bring something new to the Irish side. The Kiwi-born Leinster winger will earn his first international cap in Friday's Autumn Nations Cup game with Wales. Billy Burns could also earn a first cap off the bench. Elsewhere, Chris Farrell and Jameson Gibson-Park, they come into the side for Bundy Aki and Connor Murray. Farrell says Lowe will give them an exciting outlet.
Well, I think he brings an extra dimension to how we want to play. You know, we've all seen him play in the Pro 14 and what he brings for Leinster. So hopefully he can definitely bring the same. And, you know, hopefully on top of that, with a good performance at the weekend, that he brings another dimension and competition for places back into our squad, which is very important for us going forward.
Well, Ireland's final game against France in the Women's Six Nations has been scrapped. Six Nations Rugby admitted it was a difficult decision, but they can't proceed given the COVID-19 restrictions currently in place. Scotland's games against Italy and Wales are also cancelled, and the table finishes as it stands, with England already crowned Grand Slam champions. And further bad news for the Irish team, next month's World Cup European qualifying competition has been postponed until next year. Adam Griggs' side were due to play against Italy, Scotland, and the winner of the postponed Rugby Europe Women's Championship. Moving on to soccer, and Finn Harps secured Premier Division survival after another exciting night of action as the SSE Electricity League Premier Division season grew to a close. Harps defeated Waterford 1-0 in Ballybuffet last night. Adam Foley with the goal, and with Shelburne losing 2-0 against Shamrock Rovers at Tolka Park, it means Harps are safe, and Shells, they now face Longford Town in the promotion relegation playoff final this weekend. After last night's match, Dermot Doherty spoke with Finn Harps player Mark Russell. He said he knew they had to win first of all last night.
Oh, that was it. We just came into the game knowing that we had to win to give ourselves any chance to stay up, and thankfully we've done that. And then obviously the final whistle, we had to wait and see how the other results went, but thankfully they went our way and managed to stay up.
Yeah, had chances in that first half, never mind the goal from Adam Foley, but had to make do with just a 1-0 advantage at half time, and that made things a wee bit more tough in the second half.
It did. Obviously it was only 1-0, so they've got every chance of coming in back into the game. All it takes is a wee deflection, a wee mistake or whatever for them to get back into the game. But we went out in the second half knowing that we had the lead and were defensively solid at the minute, so we managed to see it through.
One big moment right at the end though, I'm sure you, like the rest of us, were watching, waiting for him to hit the net.
That was that. I don't know what happened. Just, I think it was just a bit of a mix-up, and the boys basically an open net just to tap it in, and he's thankfully hit the post for us. Maybe that's a wee bit of luck that we perhaps didn't get throughout the season.
Yeah, so Premier Division survival, Mark, and now you can have next weekend off and prepare for a cup quarter final against Shamrock Rovers in a couple of weeks' time.
That's it. We'll obviously regroup, get back in training next few days, and we'll look forward to that against Shamrock when it comes, and hopefully we can get a result.
Mark Russell speaking to Dermot Doherty. You can get more reaction from last night's game on our website on the sports section, highlandradio.com. It was a good night for North West teams as Sligo Rovers, they defeated Dundalk 2-0 last night. And Derry City, they also went down to Cork and got a 1-1 draw. So three North West teams safe in the Premier Division for next season. And there's a number of entities that have made public their interest in obtaining a licence for next season's SSE Electricity First Division. Among them are Treaty United, formed following the folding up of Limerick FC, and Dublin-based FC or St Francis and Carlo Kilkenny FC have also submitted expressions of interest in entering the 2021 league. Well, in international soccer for the women, Republic of Ireland manager Vera Pauw has called Saoirse Ronan up to the senior squad for the first time. Noonan scored a double for Cork City in the FAI Cup semi-final victory over Treaty United on Sunday. Pauw's named a 31-player squad for the final Group A game against Germany in the Euro 2020 qualifiers. Ukraine, they play Montenegro on the same day, and Ireland need to equal or better Ukraine's result in order to seal a spot in the second playoff game. Well, elsewhere, Irish midfielder Daryl Horgan, he admits it's disappointing that Declan Rice will be playing against the Republic of Ireland on Thursday. Rice switched allegiance to England after earning three Irish caps in friendly matches under former manager Martin O'Neill. Horgan played alongside Rice in two of those games. The Galway native understands why the West Ham midfielder took the decision to turn his back on Ireland.
He should never have been in that position in the first place. You know, there should be stricter rules where if you've played a friendly, I think that's that. But the position presented himself, he was born in England, you know, he's lived in England all his life. I can understand that it's disappointing from our point of view, because he's a very, very good player. But I wouldn't hold it against him. He's a young guy and, you know, he probably felt that option would never be there. So, you know, he presented himself and he made the decision.
Well, Borussia Dortmund teenager Jude Bellingham, he could make his England debut in that game at Wembley. The former Birmingham player has made six appearances for the Bundesliga club since his transfer. He got his first senior England call-up after Southampton's James Ward-Prowse and Liverpool fullback Trent Alexander-Arnold pulled out due to injury. And Manchester United striker Marcus Rashford, he'll miss the game as he'll not report for duty until Thursday for further assessment on an injury suffered in the Premier League win at Everton. And the Premier League Chief Executive Richard Masters has confirmed the top flight will move away from putting matches on pay-per-view TV. The decision to charge extra for some games while fans aren't allowed into stadiums has been heavily criticised. And finally for this evening in motorsport, Formula One chairman Chase Carey, he hopes fans can return for what could be a close to normal season in 2021. A record 23 races has been scheduled for next year. The British Grand Prix will be held on the 18th of July to avoid clashing with football's European Championship final and the Wimbledon tennis showpiece. The new campaign is due to start in Australia in March. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. The North's First Minister has called on the EU to guarantee a free flow of food and produce supplies from Britain after Brexit. Arlene Foster tweeted, "It's not acceptable that established supermarket chains can't be trusted to send goods to Northern Ireland for circulation." She says, along with Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill, she has urged the EU to consider the serious implications and impact on essential food supplies of treating these goods as at risk of entering the EU. Looking at the weather forecast, and Meteor and Telus 8 will be dry early tonight with thickening cloud. Later the rain will push in from the west with lowest overnight temperatures 9 to 11 degrees Celsius. Moderate southerly winds, fresh along coasts. Tomorrow it'll be wet and windy with the rain turning heavy at times. Strong and gusty southerly winds will veer westerly as conditions improve from the west later. Highest temperatures tomorrow 12 to 14 degrees Celsius. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the main stories in brief, and TDs have been warned by the Cairn Corlett to watch what they say about Supreme Court Justice Seamus Wolfe, as they may be called on to adjudicate on the issue in the future, given the impasse in the courts. Sinn Féin says it wouldn't have tabled a motion of no confidence in Leo Varadkar if he'd been disciplined by the Taoiseach. The government is expected to move a counter-motion expressing confidence in itself tonight. Leo Varadkar is expected to survive. The High Court has been told a 54-year-old woman from Donegal died after a failure to properly diagnose and treat a blood clot, having twice visited Letterkenny University Hospital in 2018, and the Stormont executive is meeting this evening in a bid to reach consensus on whether COVID-19 restrictions can be relaxed after Thursday. No decision to report as of yet. And we're back with news headlines at 6 o'clock. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 10th of November. The death has taken place of Margaret Elizabeth Lily Quigley, née McKinley, formerly of Blackburn Crescent. Funeral leaving Adair and Neely Funeral Home on Thursday at 1:30 for a private family burial in Redcastle Church of Ireland Cemetery, which in accordance with HSC and the government guidelines is private to family only, please. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu if desired to chest, heart and stroke. The death has taken place of Willie John McLaughlin, Turner, Lower Keelogs, Linsford, Buncrana. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the house is private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Patsy Hegarty, 33 Primrose Park, Sion Mills. Funeral from there tomorrow at 1:55 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please.
The funeral mass can be viewed live on the Sion Mills webcam via the Melmount Parish website. The death has occurred of Roseanne McGonigal, née Gillespie, Clunche, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the renal unit at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Roseanne's funeral mass can be viewed live on the Clonmany Together Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Sean Duffy, Trillick Buncrana, son of Sean and Irene Duffy. His remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 9:10, going to St Mary's Church, Cork Hill, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the webcam with access through churchservices.tv/Cork Hill, choosing the mobile option.